Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprint, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I will be with you for the next hour on this June the 24th on the West Coast, now the morning of June the 25th on the East Coast, in the Central Time Zone, and everywhere east of the Atlantic Ocean. It's very nice to have so many folks with us. I know that they're are some stations around the world that are helping us get this message out throughout Europe, Asia, probably even Africa, I would guess. Maybe down to Obamaland. we'll probably deal with that later on in the show. Anyway, we have got such a great guest tonight. He has been on the show a few times now. And he's causing the numbers of listeners on this show, or of this show, to skyrocket around the world. He is a former U.S. Marine. In fact, he served from 1967 through 1977, if I'm correct. He is also a journalist, a researcher. He has his own radio show on Wind Talkers, and on Blog Talk Radio. The show is called A Marine's Disquisition, and he is on many other networks and has many highbrow, we'll say, guests on his show, people in the Patriot movement, researchers, authors, journalists, and patriots. Some very, very brave men and women have appeared on his show over the years. I came to know him through a dear friend, Marianne Ponder, who kept telling me and telling him and a couple of our other friends that we should be getting together and bringing our information together and working together. This lady had vision. She was, unfortunately, we feel, murdered, and because of the great things that she was about to do. They didn't want that to happen, the powers that be, and we lost her. But I can tell you that she's looking down upon us, especially tonight, with some of the information that's going to come out. By the way, her name is Marianne Ponder, and our guest name is Drew Malone Raines III. Welcome to Evident Footprints, Drew. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I've pray everybody out there is waking up. I'm getting signs from around the world that that thanks to you, Don, people are opening their eyes and understanding that there's more to life, not on just this planet, but around the world. And that's what this is all about. We don't get paid for this. The last I heard, you don't get very much, and I darn well don't make any money.
That's true, but now what I get is a lot of satisfaction from seeing all the people that tell me that they're glad to hear the truth, they're glad to find out that someone is not afraid to bring the truth forward to the people, and that they're praying for us, and that they know that we will be vindicated in the end for some of the things we're saying. And that's exactly where I want to take us right now, if you don't mind, Drew.
No, that's quite all right, okay? I just want to let you know that it's 2 a.m. in Venezuela, and the guy that owns the coffee shop just reported that it's a little early for me to have anybody in my guest shop, but I'm recording the show to play it in the morning live at 8 a.m.
And you know, I just got an IM here that says that we're live in Ireland, Sochi, Russia, Kazan, Okinawa, Marine Butler Base, Hawaii. Wow.
Yeah, that's Marine Corps. The Marine Corps Butler Base, Hawaii, is a base within a base. And Kazan, Russia. And then we've got an irate Chinaman's son in Iwakuni, Japan, that's running the show right out of his tailor shop. And he's got his first cousin who's married to a former United States Marine is in Okinawa, and they're listening to the show.
Oh,
and they've got a room full of mad Japanese.
Well, we don't want to make anybody angry, but we do want people to get off their rear end, you know, and help us in this cause. So we appreciate all those folks out there that are listening to us. Drew, I want to share something with you. I stumbled upon this evening, and as you may or may not know, I have done a series of shows on 9/11. I did many of them with Dr. Kasim Khalil, who wrote the book Wrongly Blamed. And he and I were actually doing some research together along parallel lines, and talk show host Rick Adams introduced us, and we have become very good friends, and almost brothers in research. And we began investigating the videos of 9/11, and I came to the conclusion that the so-called Flight 11 did not hit the tower, and Flight 77 didn't hit the tower. In fact, I say also Flight 175 as well. Now, I was ridiculed by some people. Some people were doing that, not on my show, but on some other shows. I could name the networks. I won't even do that. I won't give them a plug for that. But people had, and I understand, people think they saw something on TV that was real, okay? And I said, I can assure you, my discernment tells me that these planes didn't hit, that they were nowhere near New York City, that this was all a ruse. And examining the video, I could see the plane's wings going into the tower, and then the building was healed again, like a brand new building. And you could see the fuselage still going into it, but where the wings had just gone in, the windows were repaired. Well, that's in real time, the eye doesn't really catch that, unless maybe you're just coming from a blink or about to go into a blink. You might capture that that frame or two where this is occurring. It's a very, very fast thing. But when you go in slow motion or freeze frame, a frame at a time, you can see this event take place.
Correct.
Okay. Now, I stumbled upon something that I had no idea was out there. And I'd like to read part of it. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to read the critical part. This is dated June 12, 2009. American Airlines itself is the source for information that American Airlines Flights 11, North Tower, and 77, the Pentagon, did not fly on 9/11. These flights are critical to the government's crumbling cover-up. Without those flights, Bush and his murderous co-conspirators will have to revise the big lie. They will have to concoct yet another cover story from the ground up. A cover-up is on the brink of collapse when those guilty of capital crimes and high treason either turn on one another or are forced to revise the lie. If neither flight was in the air, as American Airlines itself has so stated, then numerous official versions of the official conspiracy theory are all a pack of malicious lies. That includes almost every statement made by Bush. It is, in my opinion, probable cause to indict Bush and his co-conspirators for the crimes of mass murder and high treason. WikiScanner discovered that American Airlines changed their Wikipedia entry to state that Flights 11 and 77 never flew on 9/11. Original entry was, two American Airlines aircraft were hijacked and crashed during the September 11, 2001 terrorist attack. American Airlines Flight 77, a Boeing 757, and American Airlines Flight 11, a Boeing 767. New entry is as follows, and it includes the bolded text below. This is the smaller text now I'm reading. Two American Airlines aircraft were hijacked and crashed during the September 11th, 2001 terrorist attack. Okay, this is the same phrase that I just read, okay? Flight 77, a Boeing 757, and Flight 11, a Boeing 767. Bold letters. Although these flights were daily departures before and a month after September 11th, 2001, neither Flight 11 nor 77 were scheduled on September 11th, 2001. The records kept by the Bureau of Transportation Statistics do not list either flight that day. And they give a web address for that, www.bts, that's Baker Thomas Sierra .gov.gls. Do not list either flight that day. Okay, now, Wikipedia says, to make the point, the source for these changes is American Airlines by making changes to Wikipedia. The story is not Wiki. The story is not about Wiki. The story is about how American Airlines corrected a Wiki entry. The story is about the fact that the evidence that flights 11 and 77 were not flying on 9/11 comes from American Airlines itself. According to a Freedom of Information Act reply from the U.S. Bureau of Transportation Statistics, that's the BTS, the last known pre-9/11 flights for three of the four aircraft involved in the terrorist attacks on September 11, 2001 took place in December 2000, 9 months before the attacks. While no pre-9/11 final flight information was provided for American Airlines Flight 77, and that plane number was N644AA. Now, this article goes on into more specificity. The researcher, Len Hart, H-A-R-T, who wrote this article, went and did a Whois search on the IP address of the latest entry, and it comes up American Airlines Incorporated, organizational ID Americ-112, P.O. Box 619-616, Maryland 5308, City DFW, that's Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. Now, address says MD, I'm sorry, I said Maryland. That was a Freudian slip there. Texas, zip code 75261, country U.S. And then it gives the server names and everything. So that's who put the last entry change in about those flights. Now, methinks the CIA has some good people that wanted to bring this information out. That's what my intuition tells me. I am vindicated by all of those people who said that there was a plane. I'm also vindicated by my research that the so-called Daniel Lewin, the co-founder of Akamai Technologies, which made billions of dollars on that day, and there's a Mossad connection. MIT is a connection, and the Pentagon is a connection. This is heavy stuff, Drew. Daniel Lewin is alive, and that means Barbara Olson is alive, and I've tracked her down too. So,
well, see, that's you're right on point, because I've had Marines send me emails ever since 2004, and a lot of these Marines were on Marine security guard duty. Obviously, most people that have ever been overseas know that the first thing you see when you walk into an embassy or a consulate in Europe, you're going to see a Marine security guard standing there with a weapon attached, like a police officer, and he is to screen everyone that comes through the door.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, he is primary there for dress rehearsal, just to look good, but it is the first line of defense for somebody just obviously coming through the front door as an idiot trying to cause big time trouble. But most of the time he's there to direct people off to the right or off to the left to allow people to get visas that are from that nationality. However, these Marines that were on Marine security guard duty called me and asked me, do I have any pictures of Barbara Olson? And that they thought that they saw her at this embassy or this consulate in Europe. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to divulge where they were or what year, because obviously it would tie down, because there's only 10 Marines at just about every embassy in Europe, with the exception of Brussels and Paris. Okay.
Was she wearing she wearing a wig and carrying Italian lira and a Vatican passport?
Well, I can't tell you that right now because I don't know.
I do.
I mean, I'm just letting you know what the Marines were telling me from memory from 2004.
Yes.
Witnessing this lady, because this lady was in accompanied by her husband, and her husband is well known.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman looked like a double ganger.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is, I had to literally go to Books A Million and buy Barbara Olson's book on Hillary Clinton.
to get
a picture of her.
If there was no plane, she wasn't killed in a plane crash, okay?
Well, one of the unique things, I have an uncle that used to be the transfer for United Airlines.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he has the computer background, the computer training, and the knowledge of craft, especially civilian aircraft works.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me information such as the United States Code of Federal Regulation requires all carriers to provide on-time data of their commercial aircraft. Now, this is aircraft that has passengers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's codified as Title 14, Section 234.4, as reporting of on-time performance service. In that part, A1, A2, and A3, A1 specifically requires that the carrier keep a complete record of the flight number, the aircraft tail number, and the origin and destination of airports.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's unique here, just in the last few months, now thank God my uncle is retired from United and has been for a number of years, but I got because of his background in the United Airlines, I was able to nitpick information from him without him really realizing I was dragging information out of him. And I got to looking at this thing and found out that the three of the four aircraft with the tail numbers designated for that day had not flown passengers in over 18 months.
Wow.
Interesting, is that not true?
Yes, yes. You see, now this information. Well, I want to move on.
Have that information, and I'm looking at not my notes.
Yeah.
From one of my old shows, and I just got them up about 3 minutes after showtime.
Yeah. Now let's tie this into something that's just happened within the past couple of days. Okay. This is an article written by Ben Fulford, and it's important for me to read the whole thing. I apologize for spending this time reading this, but it's going to tie into what we just talked about. This is by Ben Fulford, who is a journalist originally from Canada. He had written for a time for Forbes magazine, and he is living in Japan for some 20 years or so. Speaks fluent Japanese and is a mainstream journalist there. About the $134.5 billion bonds found in Italy and the secret financial system. There is a lot of confusion these days among people who still believe the Zionist web of lies, formerly known as the mainstream consensus. The story about the $134.5 billion in bonds found in Italy is adding to that confusion. Perhaps a bit of background information will help clarify the situation somewhat. First of all, people need to realize that there are two sets of books used in global finance: the official data put out by government agencies, etc., and the secret financial arrangements used between sovereign entities. countries as well as organizations. When members of the British and Japanese royal families first contacted me and started talking about thousands of trillions of dollars, I thought they were bonkers. Officially, world gross domestic product is $55 trillion, so their number seemed impossible. However, after meeting multiple sources ranging from Freemasons to Yakuza to MI6 to Japanese security police to CIA, etc., I can now confirm there is a secret financial system whose total worth is in quintillions of dollars. In any case, the bonds found in Italy are connected to a massive operation that took place in the Far East before and during World War II. Part of that involved the Japanese invasion of Manchuria. When the Japanese invaded Manchuria in 1931, the owners of the Federal Reserve Board contacted the Chinese emperor and said, quote, "The Japanese are about to steal the treasure you have in Manchuria. How about we take that treasure to the Philippines for safekeeping? In exchange, we will give you 70-year U.S. government bonds that you can use to buy stuff from around the world." The emperor agreed to the deal, and the Americans started issuing huge numbers of bonds backed by the emperor's gold. To keep these shenanigans out of the U.S. public eye, they printed the bonds in the Philippines. Some of these bonds are the ones the two Japanese were carrying in Italy. This whole thing also ties into 9/11 big time. When the emperor made his deal with the feds, he asked them what would happen when the bonds came due and the feds refused to pay back the principal. He was told U.S. criminal authorities would take action. The owners of the Fed thought they would never have to pay back the money because they thought the last emperor died as a gardener in communist China. What they did not realize was that the man in China was a double and that the real emperor escaped to Taiwan. His grandson, the current emperor, is now the dean of a university. And he says, "I know his name and what university, but to protect him, I cannot tell." The grandson had many other treasures in addition to the one taken to the Philippines, and so he sued the feds using top lawyers. A giant investigation was set up in the U.S. involving the Treasury Police, the Naval Office of Investigations, the FBI, and Cantor Fitzgerald Securities. When first bonds came due for redemption on September 12, 2001, they were set to move against the feds. Well, by lucky coincidence, on September 11th, 2001, Al-Qaeda bombed the Naval Office of Investigations, etc., out of existence, and the investigation was temporarily blocked as the U.S. was turned into a fascist dictatorship. If you do not understand this, find a copy of the Nazi laws and compare them to the Patriot Act. There is now a secret war going on between the royal families who have real treasure, the British, the Chinese, the Thai, etc., and the aristocratic families who own dollar and euro printing presses. At stake is the future of this planet. The owners of the real treasure want to start a new financial system backed by metals and start a campaign to permanently end war, poverty, and environmental destruction. The owners of the money printing presses want to continue their cycle of perpetual war and terror in order to keep control over humanity. The Japanese arrested in Italy were part of that secret war, and they were released immediately and sent on their way with their bonds. There was so much contradictory information from the Italian Treasury Police, MI6, and Japanese military intelligence sources that I cannot say whose side these guys were on. I am just glad the astronomical numbers released to the corporate media created cognitive dissonance among the still brainwashed. And that, again, is from Benjamin Fulford. Does that have a ring of truth to it, Drew?
In my world as an investigative reporter, it's right on. I just don't have the astronomical numbers that is mentioned. But I have contacted John Perkins, attempted to contact John Perkins, and those of you that know who John Perkins is, he wrote the book Confessions of an Economic Hitman.
Yes.
And to clarify this, because I ran into several persons in not only in Vietnam but in Cambodia and in London, England, more specifically in London, England, personal contacts that I went to the Playboy Club and had dinner with on a numerous occasions because I was second in command there. And it was it looked like I was being groomed to take over the commanding officer job there in London, but I got sidetracked because of the backstabbing of lower-ranking personnel who were jealous of my superiority and the promotion that I was about to take on. And it's amazing to see, you know, how deep the backstabbing is done when people start investigating, you know, learning what real truth is out there. And I was a nobody. I'm still a nobody. But I had enough common sense to know that I was involved in something and learning something to basically keep my mouth shut. But at the same time, it was like I was being groomed to know this truth because one of the things that I believed in was honor above loyalty.
Yes. Now, in light of what you just said, and in light of this article, let's do some easy arithmetic here. 1931 plus 70 years is 2001. Okay, that's not a coincidence. On September 10th, 2001, Donald Rumsfeld went before Congress and stated that the Pentagon had lost $2.3 trillion. You remember that?
Correct.
Okay, we had 9/11, and then and the death of thousands of people, which was likely a Tontine insurance contract, and it was shown on TV so that they could offer video evidence, even though the planes were fabricated. The insurance companies likely paid out anywhere from $1 million to $10 million ahead of some of the victims, depending on their income and their status in the companies they worked for. The people in Cantor Fitzgerald were virtually wiped out. That's no accident. Then on September 12th, of the next day after 9/11, was the day that these bonds were to mature. Okay, so they were due at that time. And on 9/11, we had the put options and we had gross corruption taking place through Akamai Technologies. Daniel Lewin did not die. Okay, and I, the evidence is there, folks, for anybody to see. You know, you can look up Daniel C. Lewin as he's listed in the media. It's really Daniel M. Lewin. And I tracked him down as a Daniel M. Levine in Houston, Texas, and Washington, D.C., on the board of a group called Homeland Security Investments. And that's got a tie to Henry Kissinger. So I hope he's listening, because we've talked about this before, but this information nails it. Absolutely. It solidifies everything I've been reporting for the past 2 years on this show, Drew. So this is the truth coming to light, isn't it?
Well, it's the documentation. You've always had the truth. It's the documentation. It's when I get emails from generals asking me to document what I've said or what I've put in my News and Views, and I tell them, look, hey, look, I don't write these stories. I just give you the link. The link is provided to me by a whistleblower who has got the information. I've gone to the link, and that's what you've done, Don. You've gone out and you've researched, gone to the link, and in many cases, you follow the link to the individual, and this is what investigative reporting is all about.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is interesting now. You know, this is definitely several smoking guns, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Several.
Exactly. I mean, you know, and people think that there's not a lot of money out there. Ladies and gentlemen, I got news for you. On my Today show today, I got an inside reporter out of Washington, D.C., Melissa Hopkins, who reports about the masses of millions of dollars that's coming out of the United States of where? Tacoma, Washington. Don, when's the first time you ever heard of Tacoma, Washington being a funneling point to move millions of dollars outside the United States to Macau, China,
mm-hmm.
and then funneled out of Macau to North Korea?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, this is what investigative reporters used to do big time in the 50s, and after John Fitzgerald Kennedy made his famous speech with the New York journalist group saying about talking about secret societies and uncovering secret societies, you know, less than 6 months later, he's dead, but investigative reporters have been uncovering all of that information, and that's what you've done an excellent job with here.
Well, I'm just following my nose, so to speak.
You're scratching the surface, and here's the big deal, Don. You're scratching the surface, and because you're scratching out there, you're scratching away. Two or three other people are scratching away, but you have brought forth where the money is, and you know the old saying, "Tell me where the money is, honey."
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, I've actually named, I've talked about this Barbara Olson thing. I don't know, you don't have to tell me who the people are. I can tell the listening audience that it was reported that she was arrested sometime, it was either September, early October of 2004, going into Poland from Germany. And she had on a wig. She had at least $1 million in Italian lira, which I thought was strange because there.
Who cares? You know how much $1 million in Italian lira is?
I know.
I mean, that's a suitcase and a half.
Maybe it was just a check.
Oh, it might have been a check. Yeah, well, I can believe that. Okay.
Anyway, what I wanted to say about
that was pre euro dollars.
No, I think the euro was in effect already.
That's
what was strange about it, you know. But she had a Vatican passport as well. Now, I tracked her down, okay? And I tracked some other people down. Ellen Mariani, who was telling everybody, "I lost my husband. I'm the only widow or only person in America that lost someone on 9/11. I tracked him down. He's living with somebody that works for Verizon. Okay? That's how specific I got in finding him. He lives with a guy that's a higher up in Verizon.
Wait a minute. Is there some kind of immoral activity here, or is he just staying with this guy and letting his wife know where he really is?
I think she knows. I think she's just playing a role. Somebody gave her a bunch of money to make a bunch of noise,
and nobody's watching her.
Oh yeah, yep, definitely. No doubt about it.
Now let me throw. I got an IM here from Germany. Comes in and says, "Ask Mr. Nikoloff, is just a common person on one of these planes? Has anybody looked at the common people and found out that maybe they got $10 million and a passport to live in Argentina? Or how about here in Germany, in one of these little small communities over here? There's been an influx of Americans moving into Germany and Spain since 2001, if they were given 10 million U.S. dollars and converted it over to euro dollars at that time, the euro dollar was 97 cents to the American dollar, they could have a small fortune now
mm-hmm.
and living quite comfortably in a small community here in Germany or Spain."
Well, the only way we would find that out is to stop doing everything else we're doing and just investigate that. And I'm sure we would find answers. I know.
I got a guy here from Pensacola, Florida. He says, it's a little early in the morning or a little late in the evening, whichever it is. But you guys need to understand what you're proposing to do into looking into other people is you need financing. And obviously, if you guys would get together and get some heavy financing and go down the the passenger list, you might find some of these people are alive and they've been paid off and their families have been paid off. You don't hear a lot about the people in the background, even their deaths.
Yeah,
they just
yeah.
wander off into the sunset and die, and they were a passenger on one of the aircraft, supposedly, of 9/11.
Well, we've already found, this is the point we're making here, we have found people who are alive, and I suppose as I go down the list, I'll keep finding them.
I wonder what would happen there, Don, if somebody out there that had some, you know, deep pockets, and they turn around and says, okay, guys, we're gonna get you guys passports, we're gonna give you X amount of dollars, i.e. $10,000 a month, and we're gonna pay all the expenses, and here's your credit card, and here's your list of all these passengers. Now, we want you to go out and, oh, by the way, here's your digital camera with a long focus lens. You go out there and find some of these people for us. We'll give you 3 months, and you find me one or two people, and then we'll just keep on paying for it until you document them all out, as many as you can, over the next 6 months. Now, that would be an interesting ploy, would it not?
Yeah, I don't even think it would take 6 months, though.
I'm just giving you a scenario from
yeah.
an investigative point.
Yeah, Drew, we got a caller. We've got Gary in Arkansas. Gary, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Welcome to Evident Footprints.
Well, I don't know. It sounds pretty far out. Quintillions of dollars. It's quite interesting, this fight between the boys with the printing press and the ones with the hard assets. I hope they win, actually.
Gary, I think the money is in just in digits, one and one. I don't think it's actual paper money or hard currency. It may be in bond notes where they make it and say, okay, this is a security for $200 billion, and it's just one piece of paper.
It's loaned out on the basis of who has the gold holdings, you see. That's what this issue was about that I read, you know, the Ben Fulford's piece. It's about the gold and how much they can borrow against that. What the Fed is doing is just racking up debt and skimming the profits for themselves and their cronies. Gary, do you have a comment or a question?
Yeah, well, I have a question. Previous programs on other shows, I think you mentioned this on Rick Adams' show, you talked about the World Court Enforcement Team being in the United States doing something. I read the story off of your site, and I was kind of taken back by the story. Can you explain where this money originated from, what it is now, and what's really going on with that? Does that tie in with what you're talking about, these two warring factions of the printing press boys versus the Golden Treasure boys?
It may indirectly. You see, there are two types of investments, and I've been through this 1,000 times, but I'll cover it again, because you're asking a very pertinent question, and in light of the bailout and all the hype and disinformation that's out there in regard to why there is a bailout, it ties into what's called Wantagate. I wrote about that. Journalist Christopher Story from the International Currency Review has been writing about that since around 2005, and maybe May 2005, if I remember correctly. And I wrote a piece sort of tying all the financial scams together, including that. And this money was hypothecated. You have to understand, Leo Wanta raised $27.5 trillion overseas on what he claims was $150 billion of startup capital that Ronald Reagan funded him with. He went to Brinks in Holland, according to his story, and he bought rubles. Now, I'm not sure if I'm buying this now, but let's just take the story as it was. He bought the rubles from 18 cents to 23 cents, though the fair market price was $1.20. And he claims that they sold them all over the place, even back to the Russians. They were selling them at market. Now, that doesn't make sense to me unless somebody was tracking the movement of these rubles and they weren't giving them all up, so they were just buying them back. But What were they exchanging them for? That's the question. Was it dollars? Was it oil? Was it gold? Was it jewels? Was it stolen artwork, artifacts? You know, it could be all of these things. In fact, the money, $27.5 trillion, was scattered throughout the world in separate accounts. And according to Wanta, George H.W. Bush tried getting it immediately when he became vice president. He went to Hong Kong and tried to do a shakedown. They put out a story that Wanta's partner was killed, that he was poisoned, and it turned out later on that he was working with the Chinese and still facilitating transactions. So that was a ruse to throw everybody off. I bought it. Christopher Story bought it, and anybody did, because Wanta was even feeding Story a lot of information. Story paid $35,000 to bail Wanta out of jail 5 years early. He got out of jail. He was supposed to be in jail till 2010. Now, this $27.5 trillion being in foreign accounts, $18 billion from a briefcase supposedly taken out of Somalia to Wisconsin was stolen when Tommy Thompson was the governor, and Donna Shalala, I think, became the Secretary of Health and Human Services. She was like the president of the University of Wisconsin at the time, and she was promoted to Health and Human Services. So the Clintons were involved in stealing some money, according to Wanta, if he's telling the truth. He was supposedly illegally imprisoned. He was railroaded and imprisoned. However, I think he was not. I think that's a story. I think he was still operating and around the world during that time. It's my feeling, okay? I don't have proof, but I think there are some who have proof to that effect. Certainly the players know it. Now, this hypothecated money, that's the background, okay? Wanta even sued for $4.5 trillion and supposedly won the suit, and the money went into Bank of America, and then it went into the central banks in New York. And there was a whole list of banks, some who are in the news now, even some who have gone down the drain. And they've stolen trillions and trillions of dollars. Now, these monies are hypothecated. They're laundered with good money. They're laundered with taxable money. They're hypothecated, so that money doesn't really exist, because the foreign accounts holding them have to comply with Basel II and now Basel III agreements, which is proof of source of funds. Okay, they have to show how they got this money, where this money came from, and they can't do that. They can't do it. They're trying to steal the money out of those accounts, and they can't prove that's their money. Now, Wanta could do that. Okay, now they located some of these accounts, and in some cases, at the Bank of Crozier in Grenada, they know that Hillary Clinton took at least $750 billion from that bank, and conveniently the cameras and the video were turned off when she was there. But she was followed there, and the intelligence agencies know about this. This is one little episode, but this has been going on, and they're financing the derivatives and hedge funds through the criminal impoverishment of people in the court systems. They're creating illegal pure trusts with the judges, attorneys, psychiatrists, court-appointed people, and they're using even the names of the victims whose identities are being stolen from all over the country. Laundering it through Maricopa County Recorder's Office in Arizona. Also, there's a twin operation in Utah, and they're laundering the money back and forth between these places. These people own tax-free properties in Scottsdale, Arizona, and Phoenix, Arizona, and you'll find hundreds and hundreds of entries if you put the name George Bush in their search engine. I counted over 2,000 properties, and there's only 85 Bush families living in Phoenix in the phone book. Okay, so this is massive real estate corruption. It's involving countrywide, which is being run by the CIA, or had been run by the CIA, First American Credco. They're raiding all the public funds, wetlands, the schools, cemetery funds, you name it. Cemetery funds are called perpetual care funds, which means they're only allowed, like in the state of Ohio, they're only allowed to use 10% of the interest-bearing account. And yet all of these accounts, which should have millions and millions of dollars in them over the years from all the people that have purchased cemetery plots, they've been raided. Zero balances on these things. Okay? And there are databases set up to with aliases. I found Barack Obama's name in there hundreds of times. Michelle Obama's name is in there hundreds of times. All their aliases. I mean, you'd laugh. Wannabe Obama. That's one of the names in there. And it lists numerous addresses where he's got a piece of funds, or at least somebody's tracking this under his name, under his aliases. And all the players are in Congress and in big business. I can name professional sports owners whose names show up in these places. So this is massive corruption. That's just one thing they're doing. They're stealing companies. They're raiding pension funds. And then setting up the owners of these companies, charging them with the theft of the funds, and then basically brokering away their assets. Sometimes $250 million companies. Longview Aluminum and McCook Metals in Chicago, formerly owned by Michael Lynch, is a perfect example. Then he get a bunch of bloggers to go on the web and call him a crook for stealing the pension money when it was Cheney and Bush behind it all along. Then they give Longview and McCook Metals contracts to build M1 tanks to Alcoa Company. You see? This is the type of corruption that's going on. Massive international money laundering. I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, did the World Bank, did the World Court get onto this, and do they have any legal teeth to actually prosecute these people? Are we going to see some justice here, or is this just going to keep on going while they take America down like they're doing right now, or is that a part
well,
of it?
Well, it's hard to say if we're getting disinformation. Some people are saying heads are rolling, and that's why we're seeing all these false flag events and all of these trivial little things coming out. There's always a diversion. They got us thinking about North Korea right now. And I'm not saying that there's not an issue or that something can't happen, because they plan these false flags this way. But they're promoting it now because they want us to think it's real when something happens, you see? They're taking a different tactic. It's not the surprise of 9/11. And, New York's not out of the clear either. But the enemy is within. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I understand that one. So basically, seed money for all this corruption and everything started out with the Wanza deal.
That was part of it. You can't really limit it to that. I don't think it's fair, to blame all that. Not that you're blaming it on Leo Wanza or that we are, but that's not the all of it. You know, you could look at the contracts and the way the deals they worked out with Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia's contracts, their 30-year contracts, were to mature in August of 2008. Do you notice how fast oil went down around August of 2008? It went down to $34 a barrel. It was up to 150 something a barrel. That was to bankrupt them. That was to make it so that they couldn't produce oil, okay, or be able to afford to produce it, even though it only cost 50 cents a barrel, according to Lindsay Williams. They charge $150 a barrel. Imagine that. That's a hell of a profit right there.
You know, stuff that you're talking about is so complex and interwoven, you could probably spend a week of programs on this. So I'll thank you for your information you gave me. You gave me more things to think about, and I really do enjoy your program and the way you dig into this, like the Obama stuff, the 9/11, the plane crash up in Buffalo, and all the other things. You're doing a wonderful job and a great service to your fans. So is the gentleman that's with you tonight. So thank
Drew,
you very much.
Yeah. Drew is my hero, so.
I'm no hero. I'm just a dumb mud marine.
Well, Gary, thank you for your comments, and please call in again.
I'll do that. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Gary.
Well, there you are. Drew, I didn't mean to hog the microphone.
No, that's fine. Hey, it's your show. I learned stuff there, too. I have a number of Marines that chimed in, and basically they're all asking the semi-question, you know, do you know about the ghost towns and of the gold ghost towns of the West and all the way into Iowa in North Dakota? But the primary thing question that these guys are asking is, do you know where the five largest gold mines are in the world, and who's mining the most gold?
Well, I know, I heard recently of one right now, which is in a town called Freeport. And this is on an island right next to New Guinea. Okay, and this is, by the way, you know, part seven of the Three Stooges, folks, is going to blow your mind. This has everything to do with what I'm talking about right now. Freeport, I heard from someone.
Is that Freeport?
Freeport is what the town.
Okay, it sounds like Shreveport, and I've got a listener in Shreveport, Louisiana.
No, this is Freeport, okay? There's a mine where I heard this astronomical figure. I don't even know if I should mention it, but somebody, a friend, told me about this mine very recently, and there's something like 600,000 ounces of gold a day. This is what I heard is being mined out of this gold mine. And one day, somebody was basically given some information that the owner was coming. They had to take care of some business. And the person that showed up was Henry Kissinger. Now, I don't think he owned it. I think it's owned by the Rockefellers, to tell you the truth.
I have a Marine that chimed in that these other guys don't know, and he says that the China is the largest gold producer in the world, producing well over 276 tons of gold. Overtaking South Africa, which produced... in the year two, as far as the records are concerned, the last records were 2007. South Africa produced 272 tons of gold, and China has produced 276 tons of gold. This is a ton. This isn't ounces.
Mm-hmm.
This is tons.
Yes.
That's a ton is 2,000 pounds, ladies and gentlemen. That's over 552,000 pounds.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot.
That's a lot of gold.
That's a heck of a lot of gold. Now, one thing we want to point out here, too, for the listening audience, Drew, is we're not saying all the people in these countries around the world are behind this. It's these governments. Okay, the corruption is across the board. However, there are people. I'm convinced that there are people.
I have a correction for you from Washington D.C.
Who's okay?
It's not the government. It's the evil people that are taking control of the government.
Well, yeah, that we could get into specificity like that. Sure, you know that's a true statement. Okay, I don't dispute that. I'm speaking in general terms though because. I would be forced to go down a list of names, okay, otherwise. We could go into that, talk about which ones are the evil ones, right? So, but the point is well taken. I think that we are going to witness some people who are going to come out of the woodwork, so to speak, and are going to be doing some good things. The majority of people on Earth want what's going on to cease, to end, to be over with. Okay? And they would even let these guys go. If they'll go up to the moon or Mars or wherever, you know, they'd be happy to get rid of them. And then we can go on with our lives and do the things that we came here to do. It so happens that I think you would say this, I would say this, and many people you and I know, Drew, would say that we are doing what we came here to do.
I have a friend, a girlfriend. We won't tell her first. We won't tell the audience it's my girlfriend. But she says that she has a friend that married an American that lives in Tennessee, and they got an old oak tree out in the front yard, and she says that you guys need some good old dirty ropes to take care of the business.
Well, maybe she can help us get some rope.
I also got another IM from her. She says, don't forget to tell your listening audience that India is the world's largest gold consumer. And I would assume so, since they have 1.6 billion people.
Mm-hmm.
They would, and they cherish gold over there. They actually go to the post office and buy gold sovereigns.
Hmm. Well, you know, gold has a different value, especially to a lot of people around the world in a spiritual context. And they don't use it necessarily just for jewelry or for money or for just taking pictures of and hoarding it in some
secret place. My personal comment, Daryl, you give me a dirty old rope and I could put that sucker to use. And
Did you call me Daryl?
I said Daryl. I meant Don. Don, I apologize. I got Daryl Dickinson on the mind here. But Don, I apologize.
That's okay.
It's tired. I've had a long day, guy.
That's okay, Greg.
Oh, you look at the clock. It's 0100 hours, and I've been up since 0500 yesterday. Anyhow, make a long story short, my personal viewpoint is that you can give me a dirty old rope, and I can make use out of it and help feed myself. But I can't eat gold and silver. If this world goes to hell, which is what you and I and many people agree, that a national calamity, not only just in America but around the world, is about to take place, and there could possibly be a catastrophic event that will shake, rattle, and roll this planet to the point where there will be no power, there will be no driving down to the grocery store. It will be the survival of the fittest, Old West style, 1880s.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got to be prepared, but I was about to say that I feel that we're going to see some miracles happen. We're going to see this cabal fall apart worldwide. They're not as powerful as they would like us to believe they are. And
I agree with that, and I pray for that.
Yeah.
It's like tonight, I had on Wednesdays, right after my show, I have a couple of real close friends that come by and pick me up, and they make sure I get one good meal a week. And we go out to a pizza place and eat one of these extra large pizzas and have a couple of suds and some blueberry pie. It's a treat for me to go out with friends and just get away from here and all the mainstream. What I want you to know is in that conversation there was a couple of men off to another table. And I was eavesdropping on their conversation, and they were talking like they were waking up. And they were asking pertinent questions and bringing up, you know, information that kind of made, you know, gave some light to what I'm doing and what you are doing on the radio, waking people up. And we're making a difference. It may not look like we're making a difference right this second, but we're making a difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, Drew, we're about out of time. However, I promised that I was going to ask you a question.
And I told you I'd have an answer, and you may not like it.
Well, let me ask the question first. But I want to ask you this question from someone with a military background and someone with the contacts you have around the world in the military. What is the general impression of, I don't want to say the average, because I don't think any soldier is average. Anybody that puts their life on the line 24/7 is a hero already, okay?
let me throw this at you. Any man joining any military branch of any nation believes in his government as he is raised, and he's putting his life on the line for what he believes in. And if we have to get the truth out to those men, and you're right on. Anyone that puts their life on the line are not dummies.
Yes.
In today's society, never before has the record of the United States Marine Corps reflected a percentage of 99% of all Marines have a high school diploma.
Mm-hmm. Now,
and we're talking about in the enlisted ranks, we actually have 35% of the Marine Corps enlisted personnel with college education.
Okay, so we're talking about some smart people here. What is their general impression of the truth, the real truth about 9/11 and some of these things that are going on that we just connected to it?
I'll give you a dissection of two branches of the Marine Corps. One is the Air Wing branch, and one is the Ground Pounder branch. We call Mud Marines. Those Marines in the Air Wing, within hours, were saying, "No way! The you can't fly that plane straight across." We're looking at pictures here in Europe, and they're saying that Building 7 has collapsed. And yet there it is in the background. I live in New York. I'm not no stoolie. I'm looking here at this woman on the screen, and then she's talking about a World Trade Tower Building 7 showing the backdrop of New York City, and I'm born and raised there, and I can see Building 7 behind her. And she's reporting that it's been blown up 30 minutes before it's blown up. Something's wrong with this picture.
Yeah.
Marines came out through the globe. Even Mud Marines were making comments like, you know, the next day, you know, now that we've cut, you know, the tragedy of what happened and the shock and awe of what happened sink in, the intelligence factor starts asking, there's something wrong with this picture. How did these so-called Arabs, and how do they know it's Arabs? They don't have a flight manifest yet. They don't know who's on board. And yet, within hours, they're blaming it on Arabs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're closing down the air traffic system of the United States. For 3 days, no planes in America could fly unless it was a military plane.
Yes,
crop dusters in the South could not go out and fly the fields.
Yeah. Now, Dr. Qasem Khalil found 10 of the so-called hijackers alive and well all throughout the Middle East. He located
Thank
many of them.
Thank God we've got somebody out there that's got a little common sense.
Okay. So now we know if they're alive, they couldn't have been flying the planes, right? Now,
Other military around the globe, all the way up to 3-star generals, were questioning the investigation of the CIA, the National Security Agency, the New York Port Authority, the FAA, the FCC. They were questioning what's going on and why are they grounding aircraft in Africa when they're saying it was Arabs. All they got to do is turn around, kick everybody out of the airport, say, okay, now we're going to go through metal detectors, and no more on board luggage. You have to check your luggage in through the counter. You can't take anything more than a purse, and if you're a woman and you got a purse, you can't have a purse that has more than 2 pounds in it, and it's going to be investigated at the gate. Now, how simple was that?
Well, that wasn't even necessary. That's the whole point. You see, this
is what the Marines were asking. We had Marines that that were classified as unauthorized absence because they were sitting there waiting at airports to catch planes for duty assignments that they were due at the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, a group of 18 Marines found themselves parked in Nova Scotia, Canada, and they were en route to a duty station, and they missed the boat. They missed the naval ship that they were supposed to go on. And what happens when a ship goes to sea and you miss a movement? That's grounds for office hours.
Yes. Now the other group of Marines, what do they think?
Basically the same, but not as they, it took weeks for them to wake up, and then they started asking questions, and it got to the point where in the Marine Corps, commanding officers were telling the troops to not voice their opinions and not talk to the press.
Well, yeah, that would interfere with their propaganda, I would think, wouldn't it?
It got pretty bad to where I got the word that one air wing unit literally was sequestered from base because of their capabilities to do a flight investigation of Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And yet these people, I mean these Marines and this photo intelligence lab, they could have flown above the Pennsylvania fields, taken pictures, infrared pictures that go into the ground 60 feet into the ground, and could ascertain where the damaged aircraft lays and what parts of the fuselage remain. And yet the official report out of Pennsylvania was this little hole in the ground that doesn't even measure 40 feet across is where an aircraft flew into the ground and dissipated, and there's no luggage, there's no body parts, there's no engine, there's no tail fragments, there's no metal.
Yeah, and within minutes after the crash, they're saying the debris is scattered over 8 miles. I mean, it takes eight minutes to travel 8 miles, going 60 miles an hour down the highway, and you're talking about combing the woods in the mountains? Come on.
And we're trying to say, there's no seats, there's no body parts, there's no purses, there's no wallets, there's no credit cards, but they can find a passport from a Arab laying on the streets of New York City after two buildings collapse in the middle of the dust?
Two blocks away. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. Well,
so, when that story about the passport came out,
mm-hmm.
Marine intelligence officers and Marine enlisted personnel of a specific air wing, they were basically asking all the hard questions, and they were sequestered and then told unceremoniously to keep their mouth shut.
Yes. Well, you're speaking for them right now, and I want to commend you for that.
I want to tell these guys, two of these guys are listening right now, and Don Nikoloff is the man you want to talk. Don't call me. Call Don Nikoloff and tell him on the air. You don't have to tell him what your name is, other than the fact that you might want to go by your first name, but you can talk to him off the air if need be, but you give him a call. I promise you, you want to get the truth out there. We know you're there. I'm getting your IMs. The bottom line, guys, is get the truth out there. You know who you are. You work in the intelligence field. You resigned your commission. You left the Marine Corps because of all the lies. You know, this is a big problem we have in the Marine Corps today. We have a lot of Marines out there that are mind-controlled, young Marines, PFCs, privates, Lance Corporals, that don't know the honor and the loyalty of the Marine Corps of yesterday.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, Drew, we're out of time. I want you to give out your information, how people can listen to your show live or via podcast.
And you can listen to my show anytime, 24/7, podcast or off your internet connection. Go to my internet website. It's out of Australia. It's been up there for 6 years, never been taken down because of its location. The three W's. Get your pens out. The three W's. Alpha, Michael, Delta, Echo, Lima, Quebec, Ulysses, India, Tango, Yankee.com. That stands for AMD dot elequity.com. And you can call into the show and listen. If you if you're listening to this from a broadcast and you don't have internet capabilities, you can listen to my show through an unlimited long distance telephone call, the USA phone bridge, 218-486-7200. And the Australian phone bridge, well, the Australian phone bridge is posted by Megan and by, or not by Megan, by Bobby, from her website. I mean, not from her website, from her radio station she puts out. So you guys down in New Zealand, just listen to Bobby and Gerald down there in New Zealand. They'll give that out to you right after this show because they're playing this show live to you guys in New Zealand this morning.
Well, and I want to give a special shout out to Larissa and Doug. I haven't met them, but I feel like they're my best friends just from having made contact with them through you, Drew. So
well, that's fantastic. And Melissa, Larissa, that's L, ladies and gentlemen. That Larissa is a Russian girl married to an American Marine retired by the name of Matthew. And Doug is a former United States Marine who's married to an Irish girl. And both of these people own and operate radio stations in their respective cities. One is located in the northern island of Ireland in the six counties, and the other one is located in Sochi, Russia. And Larissa's sister is the one that's located in Kazan, Russia, and they run radio stations there for English-speaking students that want to listen to the truth out of the United States.
Great. And I also want to give a shout out to Karen, Bob, and Bill, David Crenshaw, Sheila, Sylvia, Zachariah, Jill, and the General, and the folks with Project Alliance all throughout this galaxy. We know, Drew, we're being listened to throughout this galaxy. So,
well, I'd like to say one thing to those guys throughout the galaxy. Guys, there's some of us that believe that there's some good people out there in the galaxy, and we love and respect, and we're going to need your help in the near future because the powers to be on this planet, they've got sophisticated armaments and weapon technology that is far superior than what we have available to us as militia and freedom fighters. But I will let you know, there is a movie out there called Red Dawn, and if a bunch of high school kids are depicted in fighting the powers to be, I got news for you. They hadn't seen a mad United States Marine yet.
Yeah, and we might even have Patrick Swayze on our side, too.
We have Patrick Swayze on our side. He just doesn't get out there in the mainstream and let us know.
Okay, Drew, we're out of time. I want to thank you for being on the show tonight. It was very informative. I hope I didn't hog too much of the microphone.
No, I'm a guest. I'm not here to do a radio show. I've done enough radio today.
Well, so you were sipping on your lemonade then, okay.
No, I'm sipping on my homemade cappuccino here.
Oh, okay. All right, well, I look forward to your next appearance on the show, and I want to thank you.
Anytime.
Thank you for the work that you're doing. I encourage people to go listen to your show. And that comes on Monday through Friday, and that's 4 Central. Am I correct?
4 o'clock Central to yes. 6 p.m. Central.
Yes.
That is 2,200 hours Greenwich Mean Time or Zulu, depending on which branch of the service you want to call it.
Okay. All right. Very good. Well, Drew, I'm going to say goodnight to the listening audience. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, and our special guest, Drew Malone Raines III. You can visit his website at amd.elequity.com. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, including Gary, who called in tonight, for tuning in. Join us again tomorrow night when we have attorney Carl Pearson as our special guest. In the meantime, I wish everyone around the world and out there in the galaxy a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.
Yeah, Larissa, the name of that is Minority Report. Minority Report. Yeah, it starts, yeah, you like him, I know.
Seth, I take it we're off the air.
Oh, I'm sorry. I need to close my mic out.
I'm not hearing Seth. I don't know what's going on.
I'm back.
Well, we're off the air, I'm guessing.
Okay.
But,
well, Larissa and wanted to
hang on. Seth, are you there? Well, I guess we're off the air. Hey, listen, I'm going to have a visitor in a couple of minutes outside. I need to go out with my camera.
Go do your thing. I'll be around here if you need, but you'll have to call me on the landline.
Okay. All right.
But unless you want to call me tomorrow, I'm just going to go ahead and go to the other room and lay down. But if you want to call me on the landline, the phone's right there by the bed.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Thank you. God bless.
Great show tonight.
Hey, you know, you're going to put me on next month anytime. You got to let me know here within the next week.
Yes. I'll call you tomorrow for sure and book you for some dates. How's that?
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good. God bless.
All right.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.